Welcome to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 5 of the Center of Everywhere podcast. I'm Marnie Werner, and I'm the Vice President of Research at the Center for Rural Policy and Development. We are a private, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization based in rural Minnesota, where we are dedicated to providing data-driven research on rural issues to help our policymakers make more informed decisions affecting the rural people and places of our state. So today we're going to be talking with Dr. Sarah Harstead. She has just completed our newest research report, Rural Minnesota Business Succession and Sale, Barriers and Opportunities. And this report talks about business transition and succession planning and the need for it in Greater Minnesota. So thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me today.
Yeah. So tell us a little about yourself, your background, and how you got interested in this particular topic.
I would love to share a little bit about that. So I am a product of a family-owned business. While I was growing up, my parents owned a small business in our rural community. It served, you know, the surrounding towns. They had two locations in two separate communities about 20 miles apart. And that was the way that my whole life had gone. And when you're in it, you don't really see it as different. So I grew up as a child of a small business owner. And I recall when they got to the transition point that, you know, we knew some things, we didn't know all things. Most of my siblings and I were in college and high school. And so we maybe just didn't know what to ask or what was going on. So I thought it was interesting. In my career, I ended up working in all family businesses who also faced this moment and had to transition either ownership or go through leadership succession. So it became a very curious area for me. My current world is that I own a business, 112 Advising, and I spent my doctoral program working through, you know, understanding organizations, strategy, and leadership development. And then the part that I really zoomed in on was family business, the sort of the dynamics of family business and family succession, and the succession process and the transition process. So that sort of brings me up to working with the Center for Rural Policy and Development on what the rural Minnesota and Greater Minnesota succession, transition, what those businesses that are owned privately have been up to for that very challenging moment.
Okay. Yeah. And this is such an important topic. This is something that I've been asked about, you know, being at the center for the last 25 years. Every once in a while, someone would say, are you doing anything on succession planning? And so this, we know this is an important topic that's been an issue for years. But it's something that we don't know, you know, people maybe who aren't in family businesses or even people who are in family businesses or small businesses don't know exactly what is succession planning and what is the whole business transition process. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and why it's important that businesses understand this?
So there's really two elements that are occurring when you think about the succession and transition process. And there is the succession piece, which is transferring ownership or transferring leadership position and transferring the skills and the really responsibilities of leading an organization. And that is a succession process. It can happen in a privately owned business. It can happen in a publicly traded business. But the real dynamic of succession is leader to leader. One leader is leaving or moving or whatever, and a new leader is starting. The other part of it, so that has its own real process and elements and challenges and quirks and development that's needed. The other portion that comes up for a business owner is if you're going to transition your leadership you're also looking at transitioning ownership, which is a whole other beast, because transitioning ownership means that you have to consider a lot of technical things that are external to the business. Succession tends to be internal. The transition of the business tends to be external. The caveat to that would be if you're transitioning it to like a family member, then the whole process is internal and we layer family into the ownership management. And now family, if you're in that territory. So there is a lot of moving pieces that have to occur in each of those sort of columns. But overall, for a business looking at succession and transition, it's changing leadership or changing ownership. And usually it's both at the same time.
This makes me think of another question, that something that came up in the report pretty loud and clear that kind of surprised me was the idea of that when you are transitioning your business, it doesn't just affect the owner or the immediate family. It affects all the people around that business, especially in a rural community. Your employees are all right there in town. There are the other businesses in town that you do business with. People in the region, your employees pay taxes, things like that. So what are the stakes for that whole ecosystem that you talk about in the paper?
I found that to be really interesting when I was working through this in my dissertation work, actually, way back in that setting. We talked about, it was the first time it had come to my attention as well, even if the owner family decides to dissolve the business and not really go through succession and transition, they decide to sell off assets and be done, they may be able to harvest their wealth. They might be able to get the money out of it, essentially. But what is not accounted for then is that loss, the loss of a goods and service provider, the loss of an employer, the loss of a tax basis, the loss of a community member. They're usually philanthropic, so they're the ones who are supporting nonprofits and events and all those community celebrations that, you know, everybody kind of has to pull together to put on. They often sell, are supporters of large community like facilities. So when they leave, all of that drains. It also impacts the suppliers that they might have. It impacts the banker. It impacts the local, just like the whole fabric of the local social scene and economic scene in ways that we sort of forget, because you just think about one business left or one family is done, but it's not just them or it's not just that business. It's a whole real extended ecosystem that gets impacted.
Yeah, and that's especially true in rural areas, right? In the smaller towns.
Correct. Since everything is so sort of interconnected, or it's such a nice close-knit community, a nice close-knit situation that we live together and we work together and all of those elements, it gets highlighted, or it gets sort of not exaggerated, but a little bit more impactful when you have more close-knit communities than if you're in a bigger urban center where one loss of one business to one individual, yeah, it might impact the banker, but they may have multiple more accounts that, you know, will continue on and thrive, and they can replace that one business or that one family. So just has a larger impact when you're in that like smaller territory.
And so when you consider that impact that just closing a business can have, you talked in the report about the high percentage of deals when the business owner is trying to sell the business or transition the business to a new owner, new leadership, very high rate of failure on the first try, like 70% of these things don't go through. And so when you think about how important this can be to the local economy, that has real impact, right? So there really are stakes for the town in general.
Yes, and national statistics, so not just in Minnesota, but across the board, say that 70% of business deals are going to fail the first time. So if you're in a larger publicly traded situation, it might not have as large of an impact, but when it's the one time you're going to do the one deal for the one, family member, it's a pretty big situation if we have a failure there. The other important thing about what it does to your community is if you do have like a loss or a failure at that moment, it's so like broadly known and felt. And so it's important for the most preparation to happen to be as simple and as like smooth as possible.
And so what is the reason for this difficulty in getting the deal done? Is it just the deal isn't done right, or the succession plan isn't written out, or what are some of the barriers that you talked about in the paper?
So some of the barriers, after talking to business owners across Minnesota, I got a very good picture and a real felt experience on what it is like to go through this, to have lived in a community and built up a business and really like poured into it for most of your life. Even when you felt like you didn't have the resources to pour into it, you continued to build it and do what you could to be a good member. And then to walk through this somewhat challenging and a little bit complex time, I got a good sense of what were the repeat barriers, what are some of the repeat challenges. And overarching theme that people would mention is the lack of independent information, so really knowledge. The information that they were able to get their hands on from a I'm not ready to move, but I need to know something standpoint. So I'm not ready to do a transition, but I'd like to be informed. A lot of that information revolved around sort of the farming community looking at succession. So Minnesota businesses are the things that are allowing our farm communities. So the farms started the ecosystem in many communities. The businesses are what are allowing it to survive and thrive. So much of the things that we've put in place in the past have served that farming community. And many of the owners that I spoke with said that they were able to go to workshops, perhaps on having a farm transition happen or looking at succession through a farm family, which is really wonderful and important. So when they have heard like how the farm succession will work and what some of the ideas are there, they want to take it back into their business. And one of the main concerns that they might have then is having confidential conversations. So the confidentiality that comes with needing to value a business and needing to, transition the ownership by finding a new owner, wondering who might come to their rural community and take over that like business side, as well as the neighbor element, just having a neighborliness in the business that you might not be as concerned about in an urban area. A lot of those stakes show up in educating yourself, and in the actual transition territory.
Yeah, because there are things in a business transition, in a business deal, that the business owner does want to keep quiet, that they need to keep quiet while the deal is being done, right? So it can be difficult when you're used to everybody kind of knowing your business.
Yes, and often they felt like they wanted to be transparent. This was the real rub. They really wanted to be as, transparent and honest and forthright with their employees and their vendors and all of the people that they impact, the stakeholders to their business. But because of the nature of some of these transactions, because of the nature of some of these processes, you might be thinking about it and working on it for a time that it really is harmful if too many, A, cooks are in the kitchen, or B, pieces of information get out and get, twisted or changed. And so there's a real desire to keep things close and to keep things confidential until in an orderly process they can be, you know, shared, and they then have the business has the opportunity to move in a successful manner forward into the future, as opposed to feeling like they have no control over what the process might look like, or who knows what at what point.
And so I would imagine that this is where a good advisory team would really come in that can advise the owner on, you know, this is what you should do at this point, and this is what you need to keep quiet about, and don't feel like you need to share this, and here's the next steps.
Yeah, it's easy to get sort of bogged down in the multitude of details and complexity. So in the report, and when I think through it or work with clients, I like to think about three stages. One is a time when you're really looking for education. You're starting to think about, what does it mean to transition? What are some of my options of transitioning this business? And where might I find the right information, the right advisors to that option that I'm interested in? And I'm going to write myself a plan with an option A and an option B. Then I can feel like I've got some prep in a stage one, knowing some advisors and writing a plan. Stage two, I want to pick which option makes the most sense and start to take that plan and put it into place. The benefit of getting ahead of the game, ahead of it by planning, is in option A, I could hit many, many issues that I hadn't anticipated and make option A not that great. So for example, many people might have option A to be pass it to my child. And at least a couple of the business owners I met with during this project had serious challenges to pass it to a child occur, such as a really early loss of a son, or a really early recognition that the child just did not have any interest in this family business. So that's really challenging stuff you want to have time to work through. So option A might not work. So stage two, I'm looking at all my options and getting those advisors. We'll talk about those in a minute, but getting that advisory team together. And then stage three is when I have gone through many of the challenging things. I have put the plan into place, and I really just need to like get over that last hurdle, close the deal, and move to the new stage of life that I want to be in as the owner. So that includes just shutting the deal or the transition's finalization. And that's really symbolized by that owner having the new life, whether many of them chose to move away for at least a time or to start another very important project to them, a passion project maybe, to make that transition real. So in the advisory stage, which starts in one, stage one, when you're trying to understand what advisors are available, and then in stage two, when they're really walking with you, due to all of the moving pieces, if you're working on transitioning leadership, if you're working on the succession of leaders, there are developmental milestones that you'll want a leader to hit, developmental moments when you'll release some of the responsibility and empower that individual, but then sort of wait to make sure that there's support and guidance. So there are pieces of that an advisor can help you walk through, because just as a business owner, you have so many things on your plate. You might not be an expert in personal development or how to train someone into a really complex thing like leadership skill. And then on the succession transition side, so not the people side, more the actual transition of ownership side, there are multiple very technical things that need to happen, starting with a general valuation of your business, understanding what each of your assets are worth in the business, putting together what the right tax situation might be, putting together what the right legal issues might be. And so a financial advisor is very important in this moment to prepare your financial house for the future. So that's when that advisory team is just so critical, because really you're preparing three things. Apparently I like threes, but you're really preparing three things. And exit advisors will tell you, you're preparing your personal your personal plan, like your personal self, you're preparing your personal finances, and you're preparing the business. So those are three very, you know, unique and detail-filled things that you have to get your house in order before you can transition and feel like you've had the success, you've met the goals that you really set out.
Yeah, because it's not like just retiring from a job. You're basically retiring from something that has been your life for possibly decades, right?
Correct. Yep. It's usually been your life's work and been decades and decades of thing, you know, blood, sweat, and tears that you've poured in. That phrase has been come up many, many times in conversation. And there is statistically, business owners have 80 to 90% of their wealth in the business. So you're going to need to be extracting that as you go. So it can be to your advantage to have a longer process of removing wealth from the business rather than trying to harvest all of it at one point in time. That could vary based on many situations, but more or less, you know, that gradual process out is going to serve you better than trying to make it an all or nothing at the very end.
So where do you find these advisory team members?
This is a big challenge. There are often a banker or a lawyer or an accountant that might be available per community, maybe per county. The challenge might be in a rural community, technical services, that's what I like to refer to your financial advisor and your banker and your accountant, et cetera. Those technical services, technical service providers seem to be slimmer and slimmer in number. And so if you are transitioning within a small community and you're working with the community attorney, there's a very strong possibility that the buyer is also working with that attorney, and you will have to either figure out what that conflict of interest means, or one of you needs to go elsewhere to find that kind of assistance. I think this might be one of the gaps that we have in Minnesota, that we could serve our rural communities better by making it more easy to know where to find those services if you aren't able to find them in your local community, specifically if you do something a little bit more complex like an ESOP, which is an employee like retirement, the employee's own employee stock ownership plan. So the employees end up being the owners of the company. To facilitate that, you need pretty strategic and technically complex financing, legal documentation, and accounting, specifically around the tax situation. And the chance that you're going to be able to get all of that in your local community is probably going to be slim compared to if you have more options across the state. So some designations do exist. Certified exit planners are a way that you can go to a website for certified exit planning advisors and find them across the state. The Business Succession and Transition community has a hub at the University of Minnesota Extension. A lot of individual nonprofits and advisors meet monthly and are trying to help one another with grassroots efforts to reach and, you know, provide assistance to owners who need anything in the business succession and transition. Also, the University of St. Thomas has a family business center, which is an absolutely wonderful resource for family business owners to get education and to find resources and to find others who are going through similar things, but maybe isn't your neighbor. Maybe you're in Southern Minnesota and they're in Northern Minnesota, and you can have some honest conversations about similar challenges that would be tough to have with the individuals who are right next door. So that's just a few of the options. In general, I think that that's an area that we have opportunity.
Okay. So Given the complexity of this whole process, when does a business owner need to start thinking about this?
Probably sooner than you want. In ownership, we typically would retire around the 60s is when people start to think about their retirement. They get real planful as to which one of the numbers in the 60s or maybe the 70s are the one that they're going to pick as their retirement age. When you apply that into a business and you consider that you have to do all the prep work prior, we really have to be preparing. It's hard to say hard and fast, here's what you got to do, but I do believe you need a good 5 years in mind to get yourself adequately prepared and feel comfortable with the transition process. So when you're around 55, if you have not thought about it at all, now is the time to start educating. In general, the sooner the better, just because the education process, the more you hear the information, the more you think it through, the more comfortable that you as an owner can become, so that when that magic match does show up, or when you realize what it will take to get the right next owner, you're just having more time to make that transition as smooth as possible.
Yeah, because you found with some of the business owners that you talked to, when it got right down to actually starting the transition process, they felt like they weren't quite ready for it. Like it kind of was like, oh, here it is. Now what do, how does this actually work? And they were caught, kind of caught off guard by the whole process.
Yeah, I think a lot of individuals will do planning, but it remains, between their ears, as we like to call it. And so if it's between their ears, if it's still in your head, it doesn't very much serve to be a plan. To be planful, you need to have it written out and something that everybody can work together to execute. Many owners will hit the point where they realize that they can't serve the business in its next cycle of the life cycle. So maybe there's new software that they need or a new upgrade to a facility, and they just don't have the interest or the desire or, it's not their time of life that they want to put something more into it, although they know the extreme value that they have. And so that is one trigger that will say it's time for me to move. The second one is generally one day you're just tired of the stress and the ownership and the, sometimes sleepless nights that it takes. And so then that can be a really tough moment to try to turn on a dime and divest such an important part of your life, both financially and personally. So whether it's like a positive thing that the business is growing and you're just not going to be the one who wants to do the next chapter of growth, or you're just worn out and maybe it's time, but you don't know how. Neither of those scenarios is something that's fun to get to if you don't really have a planful prep in mind.
Okay, so you mentioned the program at the U of M and University of St. Thomas. What are some other organizations where a business owner could at least just make that first call to just take that first step of learning more, or if there are websites or something that they can check out?
Yep, that's a great question. So MNCEO, MNCEO.org is our local Minnesota ESOP nonprofit. And their complete job is to educate on employee ownership options because there is more than simply the employee stock ownership that is the most common and most popular, but MNCEO can educate on so many more elements and walk with you through the process of setting that up and connect people to other companies who have done it to get firsthand experience. So that is a wonderful resource. Additionally, many business owners' first line of contact will be their economic developer, the people in your community, your chamber of commerce that can start making connections for you. So if this is an area that you really want the the assistance, or you're starting to think, hey, where do I even begin? The local EDA or the Chamber of Commerce can make a couple of phone calls or put you in contact with the right kind of information. So although they might not have a program that you're going to enter, you know, set up, they have the information and they know all about this territory. So that's another great one. And across Minnesota, there's a variety of unique things that could exist. So if you are a community of color, or if you are in certain regions, the report lists a few more opportunities for assistance that do exist. And I think, you know, starting with that local economic developer is going to be the most common place to begin and to reach out for information.
Okay, well, great. Well, this has been really lots of good information, really good discussion. And one little statistic that I totally forgot to lead with is, you know, this is so important because we have that silver tsunami coming where, you know, so many people are hitting 55, hitting that age where they're really, you know, all those baby boomers are really going to start thinking about this. And I think the numbers you had in the report were there are like 52,000 businesses, 10% of the businesses are owned by people 55 and over. And that is going to be a huge transition over the next 5-10 years. And so this was a great report. Anything you wanted to just finish off with?
I think the most important thing for me is just to have the awareness out there. Because even though we know that those 52,000 plus businesses are sitting in the territory where they should have at least considered what their plan is, we have statistics that say that only 19% in Minnesota have even looked at this in the last 3 years. So if you haven't looked at it, it's time. And we all want the very best for the business owner. So sometimes as a business owner, there's a lot of independence involved, which as an independent business owner, I completely respect. However, we're there to help. So at whatever, you know, level of information that you need, that level of information exists. Whatever level of information you're willing to share, that can be worked with. So, you know, taking the time to reach out and getting more education on what's needed are probably the most important steps that we can have across the state right now.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again so much.
Thank you for having me.
Our guest today was Dr. Sarah Harstead, and she's the author of our most recent report, Rural Minnesota Business Succession and Sale, Barriers and Opportunities. And you can find that report on our website at ruralmn.org. And thanks for being on.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.